everyone. Welcome to the Bodybuilding.com podcast. I'm Nick Coleus, the host right here. We got a big noisy ice cream social happening outside in case you hear any laughing or splashing. This is Heather.
Splashing.
there's ice cream out there. This is Heather Eastman to my right, as always. She's on the left. And our guest today is a mixed martial artist who's visiting town. His name is Sean Brady. He's been fighting for the CFFC, the Caged Fury Fighting Championships, mostly over in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Been a welterweight champ there for a little bit. And then this spring, he answered the call to be a bodybuilding.com.
Yes.
and the UFC, of course,
yeah,
too.
Yep,
I mean, so yes, Sean is officially a UFC fighter. You got your invite.
Yep.
Looking for your first bout later this year.
September.
September?
Yeah.
Is that in Philadelphia?
We're looking for Canada.
Okay.
Yeah. So sometime in September. It could be earlier, but we're looking at September 14th. That's what we're hoping for.
Cool.
So that's what we're shooting.
Good to have a date on the calendar.
Yeah,
man.
That's what we're shooting for. No opponent or anything, nothing official, but we'll have something locked up in the next couple weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. And as I mentioned, he's also a bodybuilding.com athlete officially. We're happy to have him here. Sean,
yes, welcome.
I'm happy to be a part of the team.
Now, people have been talking about Sean as someone who should be getting an invite to the UFC for a long time. It's one of those names you see in the comments under videos. Come on, like, come on. So when you finally got your invitation, how much support just came out of all sides for you? Like,
A lot, but I've always had a really good support system. Like, a lot of fighters get a lot of negative, especially like Philly is like a really like rough city, you know. Eddie Alvarez was champion for the UFC, and he came home and he didn't get like no love, you know. Like, other champions have gone home to their cities and they've had parades and like all kinds of stuff. Eddie came home and they put him on like NBC 10, you know, like nothing crazy. So for me to have like the support system I have, I don't get too much bad energy from anybody. So, but when I got signed, I got just a bunch of positive love. And it was great.
Did you hear from anybody unexpected?
The amount of text messages, it took me days and I didn't even respond to some people. Mm-hmm. The messages, like my whole inbox was like full. It was at like 99 plus. I couldn't even open them all. But it was good.
You mentioned Eddie Alvarez. He was the first guy you thanked in your post where you announced it.
Yeah, it was a Monday night, and I'd known Eddie for a long time, but over like the last couple of months, we got closer. We were working out together, doing like some strength and conditioning, and it was a Monday. He called me about working out on a Wednesday because he had a fight coming up in Japan. And we were just talking about training. He was like, oh, you didn't get signed yet? It was 2 weeks after my last fight. And I was like, nah, I didn't get signed. I don't know what's going to happen. So at that time, I was going to fight May 17th for CFFC. I was going to defend my belt. And then we kept talking. We wound up hanging up the phone. And he called me, like, started texting me like 20 minutes later. I was driving down to go train. And he was sending me screenshots of him talking to Dana White, like, because the Philly card was coming up March,
right.
I think it was March 31st, and it was like 4 weeks away at that point. And he was like, yo, you got to put this kid on, blah, blah, blah. He's the next big thing coming out of Philly. He's going to be the next me. And so Dana was like, send me his record, his weight, his height, all that. So he sent him like my SureDog profile, which is like an MMA website that has your records. And next thing I know, he's like, you're going to get signed. And I was like, at first I was like, oh, like that, like I didn't really like know what was happening. So I called my manager. I started sending him the text Eddie was sending me. And the next day I was getting done training and Eddie called me. He was like, yo, they're sending a contract to your manager. And next thing you know, I had a contract. Mm. So I had, I signed a 4-fight deal and, so I got signed.
Fantastic.
And yeah. Mm.
So you mentioned that you've been doing some strength and conditioning work with Eddie. He's a guy who's been in the scene for a long time.
Yeah. He
How different was that? What do you feel like you learned from that guy?
I think Eddie could learn actually a lot from me in the strength and conditioning part. Like even like with like supplements, like he was like I had like my BCAAs. I was shaking them up. I was taking pre workout and. He was like, what does that stuff do? And I was kind of just like telling him like,
okay, he's
like,
old school.
Yeah, he's old school. Like he doesn't do anything. Like even like with strength and conditioning, I have a guy, Rich Poehler. We like me, Eddie, Paul Felder, like a lot of high level MMA guys on like the East Coast train with. We do our strength and conditioning with, and Eddie was his first guy. So I would be at strength and conditioning, and I seen Eddie, and so him and Eddie stopped working with him a little bit. I still work with him, but Eddie reached out like hey, I was working with this other guy, Sean Thompson, in Philly. He was like, I want to come to Sean's gym and work out. Do you think he would be cool with it? I was like, yeah. So Eddie was coming in. He was getting some workouts in.
So you're the old man in the gym.
Yeah,
now.
We were getting in pretty early. I think we were doing like 7 a.m.s or something like that. So, yeah, we were getting now, after it.
Last time you visited the office, I remember talking about how you were training like four times a day at that point.
Yeah,
Is that still kind of your routine?
If I have a fight, I usually train like I'll do two skill practices, meaning like sparring or MMA in the morning, mm-hmm. and then I'll do jiu-jitsu at night. But I'll also do a strength and conditioning workout or a run in there like pretty much every day. I lift pretty much every day, and I run like three or four times a week.
Do you feel like you lift or you put more value in lifting than other fighters that you know?
Yeah, I started working out before I even started doing MMA, so I've always just had like a passion for lifting weights, like strongman, bodybuilding, CrossFit. Like I just love all aspects of weightlifting, Olympic lifting, all of it. So I just know how beneficial it is. Like you can never be too strong. Strength is never going to be a weakness, you know? So as long as you're not getting hurt, which I've dealt with in the past, but if you can stay healthy and do it the right way, it's nothing but a plus.
Sure. So now you, when you were talking about the weight training that you do, you mentioned a lot of different disciplines there.
Yeah.
Do you have a lot of variety in the way that you do your training there? Or?
Yeah, I try to do a bunch of different things. Like I was just working out. I was just doing I was doing sets of pendulay rows. Then I did kind of a CrossFit, like Metcon, and then I finished off with push presses. Okay. So I try to do a little bit of everything.
Pretty high pace though.
Yeah, pretty high pace. But I also have days where I just do like 5-3-1, like meaning like 5 reps, 3 reps, 1 rep.
Sure.
For just strength. You know, yeah, that's classic. That's how to build strength, like classic. Right. Then I can do like off of percentages too. So I'll do like my 5 reps will be off like 75-80%. 3 reps will be like 85-90%, and then 1 rep will be off like 95%.
And do you periodize that across the year, your training year too? Or
yeah,
how do you peak?
It's hard to peak with MMA because it's hard to really see like huge gains in strength because we're always gaining weight,
right,
and then we're losing weight. Mm-hmm. So obviously when we're cutting down, like we lose some strength. But I kind of do the same thing all throughout the year. Obviously there's times I get stronger and times I'll lose a little bit of it when I'm cutting. But I have two great strength and conditioning coaches who I work with too, but that's how we do it. It's either off percentages. Nothing I do really goes over 5 reps if I'm going pretty heavy. But yeah, we're all pretty much on the same page.
I like that. You keep your strength work strong.
Yeah.
You keep your sweaty work sweaty.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So,
okay. I wanted to ask because you're talking about Eddie Alvarez and different Philly fighters. Is that you feel like there's like a Philadelphia style of fighting yet? Like there have been enough good fighters to come out of Philadelphia.
Just like grit, you know. Philly's just a tough city. You know, you have to be tough. Like you just have to be gritty when you come out of Philly. Even that's how the fighters are. We're all just tough. You know, We can all push the pace and we can all take a beat in and give it back. So that's kind of, I try to be smarter than that, but like Eddie and those guys, Eddie gives it out and he takes it, you know, but I try to be a little bit smarter with not getting hit, but sure. We all have that.
Avoid it.
We all have that in us, you know? So yeah, that's what I think Philly's known
yeah,
for.
Yeah, I remember, I mean, being undefeated makes it sound like you've never taken a punch.
Oh but. No, I've right. been, I've had some tough fights where, I've been definitely tested. I've been hit with flying knees. I've never been dropped in a fight. I don't think I've ever been dropped, period.
Mm-hmm. Knock on wood. Right, right.
But, but I've gone into fights with my nose broke. I've got stitches in fights. I've had some adversity in fights. I've gotten tired in fights where I've had to dig deep and find that second and third gear and come back. Mm-hmm. So
sure, and that's part of sparring and training too, is learning how to get whooped, right?
Yeah, I think me coming up as an amateur, I came up around like really high level guys. So I had no choice but to get better and know how to take a beating. And eventually as time went on, I just started to dish it out a little bit more than I was taking it, you know, so.
So I have to ask, because I'm kind of curious, like what's the learning curve like on that for someone who's just getting in? Like, let's say they're coming from wrestling where you're not throwing punches and then all of a sudden you're getting hit in the face. Like,
yeah,
what's...
Yeah, the biggest thing for wrestlers when they come in, they get choked a lot because they're not, whenever you're wrestling, you're not worried about submissions. You're not worried about getting caught in chokes when you're shooting in. So they'll shoot in for a takedown and they might get the takedown, but... Us jiu-jitsu guys, I'm a black belt in jiu-jitsu, I'll be putting a guillotine choke on or I'll be getting you an arm, like I'll be working a submission, you know, so coming from wrestling, they're not used to that, especially like you said, they start getting punched in the face, it's completely different. I was lucky enough, I started off doing everything around the same time, so I've been getting punched in the face for a long time. So I'm used to, not used to it, but yeah, wrestlers, they'll come in, and if you see a lot of wrestlers fight, you can tell because they're always just going for the takedown. They just look super uncomfortable on their feet when they first start. Like they just want to
get the takedown and just grapple
from there. And but yeah, eventually, like I think some of the best fighters in the right now, like champions are wrestlers. So once they get past that stage, they do just fine.
So this may come as a shock to you. I've never been punched in the face.
A lot of people haven't.
This podcast is, we've been setting this up, Heather. This is the day.
And initiated.
So like for somebody who's never actually been in a fight like this, because the last time we spoke, you talked about how basically your practices are fights. How do you even prepare for that going in for the first time?
It's hard, but it's a sport at the end of the day. Like people, you're not made of glass. If you get punched in the face, it's the absolute worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to get knocked out and you're not going to remember that anyway. So it is, is what it is, you know? But besides like rarely stuff breaks in your face or your jaw or anything like that, but, you're not made of glass. So getting like, you can take punches and give them back and most people will be all right, you know? So you just got to get past that and know. It's still, trust me, I get punched all the time. And I'm like, it hurts. You get hit in your square in your nose, your eyes still water. We're all still human, but you just know, you just learn how to deal with it.
I think that's what's so fascinating to me about fighting is that not everyone can really relate. Like I can relate to running 26.2 miles or lifting really heavy weights, but I cannot. It's hard to wrap my head around getting hit in the face.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. Like a lot of people come in as athletes, you know, and you can be a great athlete, but that doesn't mean you're going to be a great fighter. You know, you just have to have that inside of you. Like you get punched in the face, you got to still keep going forward. You have to still keep fighting because a lot of guys that get hit and they crumble. I see great athletes. They'll come in, they can run, they can jump, they can lift heavy, they can wrestle, but they get punched in the face and then
game over.
They turn into a ghost. So you definitely have to get past
that. That fighter fitness is super hip now, but I imagine that's when it all can get pretty real quickly. You see
Once you get punched in the, they're not punching each other in the face in that, but but we have, we spar, we have all kinds of practices that get us ready for that. Even especially the scariest thing for me is getting tired. You know, once you're like fatigue makes a coward of any man. You know, if you're tired, the best fighter in the world, if you're tired, you're going to get beat up. So I think that's why I train so hard. Mm-hmm. So even if you're always going to get tired no matter how good a shape you're in, but you have to be able to recover and keep pushing forward, you know?
So who are some of the fighters that you've trained with that you feel like really gave you the most valuable lessons going forward, whether that's, you know, not only what you could learn from them, but that getting humbled kind of lesson too.
Cowboy Cerrone, Dallin Cerrone, me, my teammates, Jonathan Webb, Paul Felder, and another guy, Jared Gordon, they're all in the UFC. We went out to his ranch for 3 weeks and just training with him and just realizing, like, at the time, I think I was 1-0 as a pro, and he was just so good and like how high level he was, but he was so humble and training, and he was just so nice and just like the lesson, just little stuff. He'll bring you out there and just teach you like kind of how to be a man. You know, if you're a kid that grew up without a dad, he'll teach you how to like change oil or change a tire or just being around, just realizing that all fighters, no matter how high level, we're just all people, you know, we're just normal people. Some of us are better at certain things than others. And yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. But like Paul Felder, I train with him every day. Jonathan Webb, he's another one of my teammates and coaches. So I'm surrounded by high-level guys all the time. And, we just push each other and just keep getting better, you know? That's all we can do.
When was the first time that you really had sparring or some other really intense training with a guy who was in the UFC who was a big step above you?
Probably Cowboy. Probably when I was an amateur, I did some training with, like, higher-level guys, but they weren't in the UFC. They were just pros. But I'm sparring with Cowboy, and I did good. Like, I would take him down, but he would get right back up, you know, and, like, grappling's kind of my thing. And, he's just really good. And at the time, I was still – I think I was, like, 22 years old. But
what did you feel like the big difference was when you were looking at him and looking at you?
Just, like, his composure, you know, just, like, being able to get taken down or whatever it was, like, a little bit of adversity and just act like it didn't bother him and just keep getting up and just keep going. So – yeah, sometimes you'll think sparring with guys who are in the UFC or high-level guys will be harder, but sometimes it's easier, you know, because you'll go with some amateur kids that don't have any fights or low level pros, but they're only low level because they're, when they get in the cage, they can't put it all together. Like, I know some guys who can, they could be world champions if they fought the way they fought in the gym inside of the cage, but right. like people with the nerves and all that stuff really get to them, and they get scared and they can't sure. just can't perform.
That's
you know?
Every sport, yeah. man. So, that's golf.
And that's a huge you know? Thing I've learned too from like talking from Eddie or Cowboy, any of these guys. You're always gonna be nervous because I deal with that a lot. Like before fights, my heart would be racing. Like weeks before, I'd be going to bed. I'd be so scared. Just not you're not scared to fight. You're scared to get embarrassed. You know, right. you put all this hard work in, and same thing. Like you go in, if you lose, you only get half your paycheck. So I mean, if you're fighting for your livelihood, you're only making half your money. You lose, you get embarrassed, you know. Well, that's how you feel. You feel like no one's gonna be mad at you if you lose, but you feel embarrassed. You put all this training in, you put all this time in, then you lose. You feel like your whole world's coming down. But talking to Eddie and Cowboy, they're like, man, we always get nervous. It's normal. If you don't get nervous, then you're doing something wrong. Right. You know. So.
And when did you feel like you started to be able to put that together finally? How many fights in? Where you're like, you know what? I kind of got the mindset. I got the prep down.
Like just recently, like my last fight was the best I've ever felt before a fight. I was nervous before, but I just knew to turn those nerves into fuel, you know. I didn't let them overwhelm me. You're always going to be nervous, but you just can't let it overcome you. So, yeah, you just got to go out there, and we fight every day and we train every day in the gym to do this. It's just we're in a venue at a certain time against a certain opponent, and there's people around. It's still the same thing we do every day. Mm. So, yeah, just doing stuff like that.
Sure. Who are some of the fighters you feel like you've taken the most from, not necessarily in terms of how they fight, but how they train?
My teammate, Jonathan Webb, when I first met him, I think he was like 3-0. I was still an amateur, and he's actually one of my coaches now too. He was just killing it. Training, everything he was doing, he just pushed it to the limit. And I was like, man, like that's how I want to be. And eventually now I'm that guy, you know, people look at me like, I can't believe how much you train. But I love it. You know, there's nothing else I'd rather do. My girlfriend asked me the other day, she was like, if you weren't fighting, what's your dream job? I was like, this is it. Like I wake up and I do what I love every day. Like there's nothing else. You could pay me $1 million and to do something else, and I would still say no. Mm-hmm. If I can make money and live comfortably fighting, there's nothing else I'd rather do in the world, mm-hmm. you know, so.
Have you ever been backstage at a UFC fight?
Not backstage. I've only been in a few UFC fights. I really don't like going to UFC fights. You know, just being around like fans who don't really know anything, and it just kind of bothers me. You know, like they're screaming at the fighters. They're saying moves that the people aren't even doing, and they're acting like they've been in the fight and they've probably never been in a fist fight in their life. So I've been to a few, but yeah, I haven't been to too many.
Okay. So the CFFC crowd, you feel like they're a little bit more.
They're a little bit better because they're closer to the fighters. So a lot of the people there are fighters, you know, it's a smaller venue. Mm-hmm. So, and it's, you can like local shows are the best because there's not a bad seat in the house. When you go to any big event, like whether it's basketball or whatever it is, you're in those bleachers. You're watching the little screen because you can't even see it.
Right.
So local MMA is the best, you know, if you really want to get like a really good fight experience.
So kind of speaking of what you were talking about with your pet peeves with the audience not really knowing, like what are some like myths out there about fighting that just kind of drive you nuts that you'd like to just set the record straight on?
I don't know if there's any myths, but like,
or misconceptions.
Guys will like, to me, grappling is the hardest part of fighting. You'll be pushing a guy against the cage, and it takes so much strength and energy to hold a guy against the cage, and we call it like dirty boxing. So you're fighting from the inside, and then like if you get a takedown, people just want to see people get knocked out. And if you want to see that, watch boxing or go watch kickboxing. You know, MMA is, it's mixed martial arts. It's boxing, jiu-jitsu, wrestling, Muay Thai, kickboxing. It's everything put together. And guys will go to the ground and people will boo. And people will be, and high-level jiu-jitsu guys will be doing some amazing stuff on the ground. And people are booing, stand them up. That just bothers me.
Because they
know?
Just right. want them to
they don't, yeah, they don't, because they have no idea what they're looking at, you know. So that bothers me. But there's so many things people scream and say. It just, they're just uneducated. Mm-hmm. So I try not to let it get to me too much. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just like that. Like the fans who want to say, stand them up, they just want to see people get knocked out. Go watch boxing. mm-hmm. or go watch bare knuckle boxing. You know, this is, it's still a sport at the end of the day. It's a fight, but jiu-jitsu is it's an art. It's a martial art. Wrestling's it's an art, you know? So mm-hmm. you got to respect those guys and what they do. Like I put 10 years in on the mat to get my black belt in jiu-jitsu and it didn't come easy. So for people just to be ignorant like that, it just kind of bothers me.
Yeah. And watching the way you fight, like you can definitely see the jiu-jitsu proficiency in there. Yeah. Do you feel like you've really been tested as a striker? Are you going to get that more in the UFC?
Yeah, I think I've definitely been. I think I have amazing stand-up. I just haven't got the chance to really.
Because your fights are too freaking short.
I haven't got the chance to show it yet, but I feel super comfortable anywhere I go in a fight. But if I had to pick anywhere, it'd probably be grappling and jiu-jitsu that I feel the most comfortable with. But I fought high-level strikers. I always fight. I'm 5'9". I tell people I'm 5'10". You know, I'm short for my division. I'm always fighting guys 6'3", 6'2", but I make what I have work for me. You know, I get inside, I usually take them down, and I either submit them or ground and pound. You know, I know my style, and I know what I have to work with. So I make it work.
Now, I saw you talking to another bodybuilding.com athlete yesterday, Mahmoud Sabi. He's a Greco-Roman wrestler, right? He's an Olympian. When you meet a guy like that who's, you know, just so deep into another martial art, what do you try to learn from him? What do you talk about with a guy like that?
Just like little tricks. We were moving around a little bit for one of the photo shoots and just like watching like little things he does. Like he did like these little like fakes and like takedowns and just learn something. You know, you can't like people try to learn too much. I just want to pick up like one or two things that I can just add to my game, you know? So just talking to him and just picking up what I can from him. He's starting to do jiu-jitsu too. So, I mean, we can definitely trade some stuff off. So hopefully in the future we get to work together and he can help me with my wrestling and I can help him with his jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, for absolutely. Sure. So now you're like what, 12, 16 weeks away from potentially fighting here.
Yeah.
Are you on the training path now? Got your nutrition training kind of
so
planned out?
This is probably the best outside of camp in shape I've ever been. Like I could fight tomorrow if I had to. You know, I could fight next week if they...
You're going to be in the airport without your entourage. You said you might have to fight just to get
through that. I might have to. But usually, like, outside of training camp, I always train hard, but my nutrition wouldn't be the best. But ever since my last fight, I've just kept my weight low. I'm like 25 pounds over my fight weight, which is pretty low. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys, I know guys walk 40 pounds over their weight.
Oh, gosh. That's a big
cut. So, yeah, I'm like 25 pounds over my weight. I'm in great shape. I can always... There's always areas you can get better. So about 8 weeks out is when I'll start like really hard training. But I was telling someone the other day, everyone has a training camp, but my whole life is a training camp, you know? So 8 weeks would just be me getting my weight down pretty much. But I'm fight ready pretty much all the time.
Mm. Do you feel like for your first UFC fight, you're going to approach cutting weight or anything differently?
No, I'll have my strength and conditioning coach do, we have to do oral IV now because when you're not in the UFC, you could IV. Mm-hmm. So that's a big thing, but, you can't IV because of, it's just, they have it banned. So, we get to weigh in at 9 a.m., which if you get to weigh in that early, you really don't need to IV. But in like New Jersey or PA, they make you weigh in at 1 or at 6. If you're weighing at 6 p.m., you're fighting at 6 p.m. the next day, you're only getting one meal that night and then pretty much breakfast the next day. You're going to be all bloated. So you don't even get a chance to really rehydrate. So by the UFC letting us weigh in at 9 a.m., I'll have plenty of time and I'll do like the oral rehydration. I'll be good. Mm-hmm. So that's probably the only thing I'll change. People have asked me like, "Oh, are you gonna move training camps now that you're in the UFC?" I'm gonna do the same exact thing that got me to the UFC is going to keep me there. I don't have to leave my home. Like I have great. All you need is you need great coaches and a couple really good training partners that can push each other. That's all you need. You don't need these big super gyms to go to. I've been to them. There's no secrets. Mm-hmm. It's just work hard, have good coaches, have a good game plan. And you're gonna win fights.
Yeah, you know? You here. So
yeah, I'm staying home. I'm gonna do my training camp at home. I might work with some different people depending on who my opponent is, but that's mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. Nothing changes.
Do you? I mean, without asking anything specifically, do you feel like you kind of have your version of your opponent in your mind, like who you would want it to be, even or
anyone with a name? I want to go. I'm going to the UFC to fight the best people in the world. I don't want to dance around and pick a guy here, pick a guy there who I know I can. I want to go test myself against the best in the world. Because if I can't beat them, then I shouldn't be there. You know, I know I'm one of the best in the world, and I just want to prove it to people. So the bigger the name, the better.
Cool. So, did you reward yourself at all when you got your contract? Like, hey, I'm going to get some new ink. I'm going to do.
I have my whole back tattooed.
Yes, that's right. Caitlin, our editor, she wanted to ask about what is that terrifying freaking tattoo you're working on?
It's a Japanese hanya mask.
Oh, okay.
So,
that's okay.
Yeah,
yes.
So I'm doing that. I have we're doing like a whole background. I'm going to go down like, I'm going to have like some tigers and dragons and all kinds of stuff.
Just completely covered. I mean, this arm's bare.
Yeah,
so.
This one's bare. I've been getting this done. I got the back of my arm. I've just been getting as much work done as I can while I don't have a fight. I just, whatever I like, I get it. You know, there's some meaning behind some of them, but I just like getting tattooed. I want to be covered eventually. But I don't have a fight right now, so I'll get a little bit more and then. Then I'll stop. You can't have tattoos when you're getting ready to train. So
yeah, it makes sense. Cool. Well, Sean Brady, thank you so much for coming and talking to this man. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
We're thrilled to have you here, and we'll be watching your journey.
Appreciate it. Happy part of the team.
Absolutely. And how do people follow you aside from, you know, just buying the UFC?
Sean Brady MMA on Twitter and Instagram. That's it.
Cool. All right, Sean Brady.
Thank
best
you
of luck,
so
my
much.
Man.